Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the HEICO Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sameer Hiremath, Managing Director from HEICO Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to all of you. We extend our gratitude to all of the participants for attending our Q1 FY24 results conference call. We trust that you have had the opportunity to review our comprehensive earnings release, investor presentation, and the financial statements for the quarter ended 30th June 2023. These documents can be accessed on both HEICO's official website and the stock exchange's websites. I am Sameer Hiremath, Managing Director of HEICO Limited, and I will be leading the discussion and presenting the financial results. On this call with me, I have Anish Wadhi, Senior President of Business Transformation and Animal Health, Kuldip Jain, our Chief Financial Officer, Manoj Mehrotra, our President, Pharmaceutical Business, and Strategic Growth Advisors, our Investor Relations Advisors. FY24 has started off on a challenging note due to the global macroeconomic pressures and high channel inventories, leading to lower demand across both our businesses. The chemical industry is facing difficulties due to China's opening up and depressed market conditions, specifically in the crop protection end-use markets. Muted volumes, coupled with pricing headwinds and high-cost inventories on our customer side, impacted top line and profitability in Q1 FY24. For Q1 FY24, we reported revenues of 388 crores and EBITDA of 50 crores, equivalent to a margin of 12.9%. During the quarter, we witnessed disruptive channel inventory correction across the supply chain in both the businesses. We were able to navigate through some of the market headwinds on the back of improved cost control measures and softening of certain raw material prices and improvement in product mix. We expect it will take another quarter or two for demand in the pharmaceutical business to return to normal. However, raw material costs are softening, which is aiding the sector's recovery. Sequentially, we expect the performance to gradually pick up, and operating leverage is expected to improve in the second half of the year. On the crop protection side, there is a high buildup of channel inventory, which is adversely impacting the demand-supply scenario, resulting in price erosion. We expect the inventory situation to normalize towards the end of this calendar year. However, there has been softening of raw material prices, which is expected to stabilize and improve our margin profile towards the last quarter of this financial year. To navigate these difficult circumstances, we have implemented various strategic initiatives aimed at cost optimization, reducing procurement prices, and automation-based productivity enhancement. These measures have facilitated operational efficiencies and will stem the macroeconomic challenges. On 22nd July 2023, the company received communication from Gujarat Pollution Control Board directing the company to cease operations within 15 days at the Panoli site, citing technical violations pertaining to a product manufactured in early 2021 during the COVID period. The company clarified the queries raised by the Gujarat Pollution Control Board, based on which the GPCB has revoked the closure direction for an initial period of 3 months, and we are hopeful of getting a permanent revocation post that. The company's Panoli facility continues to operate at normal with no interruption in production activities. We are deeply committed to upholding the principle of responsible care and sustainable business practices. Given the current macroeconomic climate, we do anticipate short-term volatility. However, we are well-positioned for sustainable growth over the medium to long term. Now, I would like to provide an overview of our crop protection division performance. The Prop Protection division achieved a revenue of 163 crores for the quarter and an EBIT of 17 crores, which was a 10.5%. The global crop protection industry has been going through a challenging phase over the last few quarters as distributors and end customers are destocking amongst high channel inventories. Additionally, the market is witnessing pricing pressure given the high base of the previous year and aggressive price competition we are seeing from Chinese exporters. However, we are witnessing softening of raw material prices, which is partially supporting the margins. We remain committed to enhance operational efficiencies and reducing costs. Based on our increased marketing efforts, we are onboarding several new customers and have a strong pipeline of products under various stages of evaluation and implementation for our global multinational clients. In order to mitigate supply chain risks, we have initiated strategic vendor developments, diversified our supplier base, and implemented backward integration wherever possible. This guarantees the availability and price stability of various key starting materials and raw materials. Our Panoli multipurpose plant is approaching completion and commissioning has begun. We are presently in the stabilization phase and the plant is proceeding according to schedule. Within our own product segment, we are observing higher than normal inventory levels in the market and the situation expected to improve towards the end of FY24. The medium-term outlook for our product is positive as end-user consumption continues to grow. As part of our growth strategy, we are in the process of commissioning the new plant I spoke about earlier and additionally exploring new product opportunities to further expand our business with our global customer base. On the CDMO front, we continue to receive new inquiries from both existing and prospective new customers and have signed on a few contracts in the last quarter. This demonstrates the continued demand for our contract manufacturing and development services. We are focused on capitalizing on these opportunities and enhancing our position amongst our global customer base. Now I'd like to introduce Manoj Malhotra, President Pharmaceuticals, who will provide an overview of the pharmaceutical division's performance. Over to you, Manoj.
Thank you, Sameer, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I will talk about the financials of the pharma business first. The pharma business reported revenue of rupees 225 crore, EBIT of rupees 10 crores, and EBIT margin of 4.4%. Reason for sharp decline in pharma revenue on sequential basis on account of reduced demand from CDMO customers on account of higher channel inventory. We have witnessed softening of raw material prices, which is expected to improve the margin profiles towards second half of the financial year. Also, we expect the channel inventory situation to normalize, which implies that the worst of the price erosion is likely behind us. In addition to focusing on top-line growth, we are also committed to enhancing profitability. We are implementing a variety of measures to enhance cost effectiveness and optimize operational procedures backed by a healthy pipeline of products with better margin profiles. On the API business, we are expecting recovery in demand, which is expected to improve sequentially in upcoming quarters. However, the market is experiencing intense competition and high cost inventory in the channel pipeline, leading to pricing pressure. Despite the challenge, we have successfully maintained our market share in legacy products. We are continuously making efforts to strengthen our presence in new regions such as Japan, Middle East, and Latin America. Notably, our new product launches in anti-diabetic therapeutic area have gained significant traction among global customers. We have a robust pipeline with 8 to 10 products under development, and our target is to launch 3 to 4 products by end of FY24. Going forward, we will prioritize maximizing API sales by increasing our customer share of wallet, expanding in new markets where we have advantages in terms of backward integration, scale, and technology. On the CDMO business, we are looking ahead with anticipation of normalization of the CDMO industry towards end of FY24. As we have mentioned before, CDMO is a long-term business that requires time, commitment, and patience to establish strong relationships. We maintain a robust pipeline of projects in the CDMO space, and we are in advanced stages of discussion with several global innovator companies. As mentioned previously, we have two opportunities in phase 3 of clinical trials, which are progressing as per plan and likely to get commercial in the upcoming years. As informed earlier, our API facility in Panoli had received a no action initiate indicator NAI compliance status with 0483 observations from the US FDA. This achievement reflects our unwavering commitment to maintain the highest standards of quality, compliance, and regulatory adherence across all our manufacturing sites. These developments further reinforce our position as a leading player in the industry, known for our strict adherence to quality and regulatory governance. Now, I would like to introduce Mr. Anish Wadi, Senior President of Business Transformation, who will provide an overview of our business strategy.
Thank you, Manoj, and good evening to everyone. First, I'd like to discuss the animal health business update. The development of multiple APIs under a long-term agreement with one of our global innovator animal health companies is proceeding as planned. Our new multipurpose facility for animal health is on track and is currently undergoing commissioning. We are on track to provide the validation batches of the products which are under development to our customer during the next few quarters. These validation batches will act as a first step towards commercialization of the product portfolio. We are also in discussions with several new global innovator customers to provide manufacturing and R&D solutions to them for their current and future portfolio needs in the animal health space. Overall, to summarize, the long-term prospects will continue to outweigh the short-term challenges. We are continuously working on our transformation journey with promising developments in our new product portfolio and focused area geographies. As part of our Project Pinnacle, we have commenced several initiatives which span from augmentation of customer centricity, benchmarking and integrating our business with our ESG principles, to enhancement of efficiency in manufacturing, supply chain and operations to ensure that we have long-term sustainable growth. Maintaining our track record with global regulatory agencies, the recent US FDA audit reaffirms our commitment to upholding the highest standards of quality compliance and regulatory practices across our manufacturing sites. This approval aligns with our diversification strategy of expanding our API capabilities to cater to our global customer base. Now, I would like to open the floor to Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Viraj Mehta from Equitas Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. So first question is, if I look at both the, like after three decent quarters, we are seeing sequential drop in revenues of both the businesses. Can you elaborate how much was volume driven, which was due to destocking, and how much was realization drop in both the businesses?
Yeah, so for the quarter, if you look at a quarter, first if I take YOY, values have grown by, as I mentioned, revenues have grown by 2.4%. Volumes have dropped by almost 13% for the quarter compared to the last quarter. If you look at it sequentially, the revenues are down by 29% and the volumes are down by 26%.
Okay, so that's like a very steep drop. Sir,
I would like to make a comment on that. If you look at historically, our quarter one is always our slowest quarter because we take our annual maintenance shutdowns, and this is a time every year our quarter one is our slowest, and we always have a sequential stepwise improvement quarter on quarter, and this year is no different. So quarter four to quarter one comparison is not exactly the correct way to compare it. I think it's not comparable.
Sure. Sir, my second question is regarding if I look at improvement in terms of what we saw this quarter, that was the case with a lot of API manufacturers, probably Q3 and Q4 of last year. But some chunk of those companies are seeing reasonable improvement sequentially. Can you talk a little bit about if we are seeing any green shoots or what's the guidance you would like to give for the whole year, because you've not alluded to that at all in your opening remarks.
See, I think, there's a lot of volatility in the market. I'm not in a position to give any guidance, but as I said in the last call as well, we expect a stepwise recovery quarter and quarter, and we stick by that. And H2 will always be better, significantly better than H1.
Sure. And sir, my last question is regarding gross margin. Because, sir, you said raw material prices have also gone down, is it fair to assume that realizations will also drop or have dropped, which will mean, so how does our pricing model work? Is it like per kg conversion cost that we get, or is it a margin that we get? Because like our other expenses like electricity and personnel expenses, and that will not go down. But if your top line goes down because of realization and your RM also goes down, and if it's a percentage conversation, it will kind of hit your EBITDA, assuming your gross margin remains constant. So if you can just talk about that a little bit, sir.
See, I think, basically you're right. Fixed cost is fixed. So if the volumes do increase, which we expect to start happening from second half of this year, then the EBITDA margins will start improving compared to where they are today. From a gross margin perspective, because of softening of raw material prices, our gross margin is actually improving compared to the same period last year. So once the volumes do start coming back, which we are quite hopeful they will come back from H2 onwards, we expect the operating leverage to kick in and the benefits to start accruing to EBITDA from H2 onwards.
Thank you so much, sir, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Sajal Kapoor, an independent investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. I will ask both questions together and would appreciate a detailed response as far as possible, please. A pure-play API company is doing complex CDMO and handling difficult chemistry are making 30% EBITDA margins in India. Do you think Haikal can get near such margins in future? And if the answer is 20% or 22% kind of a range being more sustainable operating margins, because of the kind of molecules we have, there will always be, a China-based competition and pricing pressure. That's one in terms of margins. So 30% possible or not, or whether we believe that 20-22% is the best we could do in future. That's one. And secondly, both Manoj and Anish mentioned advanced discussions with global innovators in their opening remarks. So in your discussions with pharma and chemical customers, do you sense the possibility of setting up dedicated capacities for them? So something like 200, 300 KL or a block itself dedicated to a single customer. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that. The first question was regarding margins and how we will get, whether you will be in the 20% range or will be closer to the 30% range. I think if you look at the pharma business for the new projects and the new products we're getting, they're closer to the 24-25% type of EBITDA level. But obviously, if you take a blend, because of our legacy products, it may come down to 20-odd% as a blended. So our aim is for any new project, we're targeting 24-25% EBITDA. And obviously, we'll strive for even better. For the second question was regarding dedicated capacities. We've already done that with a recent client. 2 years ago, we signed a major long-term contract where we set up a large facility for them in one of our sites, and it involves multiple products, and they've also helped us for the animal health space, and we're seeing similar type of opportunities happen in the human health side as well. and crop as well. So we have already started doing that. We've implemented one project, which is significant on the animal health side, and we'll try to replicate that in our other parts of our business as well.
That's helpful, Sameer. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is on the line of Pranay Delia from Panchantra Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello, Sameer. Good evening to you and the board, and congratulations to do well even in this troubling times. A couple of questions. One is on the debt front. What is the current debt figure that we have, the repayment schedule, and are we on track of it? And secondly, last couple of years, we've always seen something or the other which has held our company back, wherein, you know, we've had two or three good quarters and something setting us back. So when can we expect both the, you could say, avenues to fire together and we see good value being created for stakeholders like us over a good period of time rather than just getting it in spurts?
Sure. I'll take the second question and I'll hand over the debt question to my CFO to answer. So then I think you're right. I mean, till December 21 quarter, I think we were showing, and we unfortunately had an incident that set us back a few quarters. Now it's more of a macro external environmental scenario, but that we're using this time to win a lot of new business and put in a lot of operational efficiencies in the organization. So I think they're quite hopeful that for the second half of this year, we expect both our businesses to start firing and we get back to the FY22 type of business where both businesses are firing and we start getting the businesses to grow again and create value for our long-term investors. I'll hand over to Kuldeep to answer the debt question. Kuldeep, if you can answer
just before
that.
Just before the debt one more follow-up. We've had a top line of 2,200 crores at peak. And with the new capex that we've done, whatever I could make out with the asset churn, we're expecting a top line of almost 3,500 odd crores in the near future. When do we expect to hit that target?
That happens once you need optimal capacity. That optimal capacity, as I said, takes 2 to 3 years post commissioning of the plant, which is still a couple of years away from now.
Okay. Thank
you.
Hello.
Can you answer the debt question,
yeah,
please?
Yeah, as far as the debts are concerned, we are very comfortable. And just to inform you, we have not borrowed any long-term loan during this quarter. And our debt equity is well within the, you know, standard norms.
Can you give me a figure? What is the long-term debt or term loan on the books and when do we start repaying it?
So we have only
total debt, long-term and short-term books.
Our term loans are 550 crore.
Okay.
And working capital is 240 crore.
Okay, and when do we start repaying the term loan, the majority of it,
it's
for the capex?
We have already started repaying. Some loans are we borrowed somewhere in 19, which is almost, you know, maybe in 3 years we will be repaying.
And we are not looking at any new fresh debt for new capex that is going to be all internally funded?
No, definitely we will certainly look forward for some debt during this year because we have a plan for almost investment of 200 crore in this year. So it will be 50-50 from the internal accruals and 50% from the borrowings. But we have equally repayment also. So it's a long-term or total debt should not change at the end of March 2024 significantly.
Okay, fine. And what is the cost of funds in the long-term, if you could just share?
Cost of fund is increased now. You know, it's almost 8.5%.
8.5%?
Yeah, both together,
okay.
In the short-term and long-term.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and want to ask a question. The next question is on the line of Aman Vora, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thanks for the opportunity. I really wanted to understand better the macro scenario where we talked about the destocking, I understood, but the competition from China, like what is happening in the market and how aggressive are they and whether like why have realizations dropped so much?
Manoj, why don't you take the pharma part and I'll take the crop part then, yeah?
Yeah, the pharma realization, the revenue has dropped more, I'll say, because of inventory with our CDMO customers. If you really see the split between API and CDMO, API is constantly recovering. And if you see the gross margin of Q1 and gross margin overall of last year, we are definitely better. And I'm sure as we go along in the year, the gross margins of API business will continue to grow and volumes will also come back. CDMO side, yes, there are some challenges because of inventory with the customers. And as we mentioned previously, the second half of the year, definitely CDMO customers will also make a comeback. And we'll see far better performance in the second half of the year. The second part of competition with China, yes, that competition with China remains as before. And see, ultimately, they also have to kind of utilize their capacities and make sure that they sell. But a few of our products, we do compete with China, but many of our products, especially on the anti-diabetic segment or some of the CNS segment, we do not see much competition from China. So it's a mix of factors, I'd say.
Yeah, and on the crop side, I think the Chinese competition is far more severe than the pharma side because, you know, China was predominantly, a lot of outsourcing was being done and a lot of capacity for crop is being created in China. But we again, we see that kind of normalizing in the next one or two quarters. And the end product demand and the, you know, once the season does pick up towards quarter three, we expect demand to start coming back and prices to start normalizing. I think we're a couple of quarters away, but by second half of this year, end of Q3, early Q4, we expect demand to come back. Our global CDMO clients have also said the same. They've all reiterated their forecast for the second half of the year so that the offtakes will start, pick up the start of volumes.
Got it. And my second question is, what is the current capacity utilization of our plants like at the company level?
Historically, we used to be about 80-85%. This quarter, it is lower. On the pharma side, it is about 70-75%. On the crop side, it's slightly lower than that, by probably in the mid-60s currently. But we'll come back to the 80-85% level by H2 of this year.
Got it. And my third question is a little more strategic question, wherein in the last 3 years from that tanker issue at Mahar to a lot of issues that we faced with pollution control boats. So causes a little bit of a issue for the business in the short term. So as a management, how are we strategizing to have lesser instances like these? We come out of them eventually, that is... very nice. But how do we try to reduce such issues strategically?
We are also very concerned. I mean, if you notice that, you know, this incident, also recent incidents in Panoli, when we went and gave our explanation to the GPCB, they were convinced, and that's why they gave us a revocation before the closure notice came into play. It was related to a technical matter of 2021. Which was bought up because of some other incidents with some other companies with similar products. I don't want to get into the details, but anyway, we convinced, we could technically convince them that there was no environmental damage and we could get the revocation. So they were convinced, but unfortunately, this is the way it's done and we have to live with this and we have to strengthen our system, which we have done significantly. That's why we could convince them that there was no issue and we got the revocation within 15 days.
Great. Great. Okay. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Aditi Sawant from ADM Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So as we understand from other agrochemical industry players, that industry should revive, you know, start to see revival from starting 2024. So what is your outlook for next 12 to 36 months and what is the update on China Plus One strategy?
Well, I think yeah, we also have the same outlook. I think second half of this year towards end of Q3, early Q4, we expect our demand uptick to start. The good news is that all our products, their end demand is strong. And we will, from a medium to long-term perspective, this business will continue to grow. It's just a little bit of short-term pressure that we're facing for a couple of quarters. The China Plus One strategy is very much intact. And we continue to see new inquiries and new customers coming on board too. All of them are looking at an option to China. And we are benefiting from that. And that will only continue going forward. So I think the medium to long-term future is still intact and still looks very bright.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And all the best for upcoming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Aditya Nahar from Alpha Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Sameer. My question is more long-term. So if I take a 10-year sort of operating profit margin figure, you are almost at 25-26%. Today, we are closer to 13-14%. I think 10 years is a long enough time to sort of look at the company. We have sort of got stuck with a deteriorating operating profit margin profile, whereas our competition on a general level across the board, let it be pharma, let it be crop protection, have had margins far higher than Michael's. So just wanted to understand your thinking for the next 10 years. Are you okay with a 13% operating profit margin? Do you expect it to move up? And even on a PBT level, we are, you know, sort of we... You almost take two steps forward and three steps behind. So just wanted your comments for the next sort of 7, 8, 10 years. Are we okay with this? Is my thinking incorrect? Just your thoughts on this, please. Thanks.
Yeah, I think if you look at, I don't think it's been 12 to 13%. It's been there right now. But if you look at till 1 year ago, it was more like 18, 19% margins. We feel comfortable to get the business back to the 19 to 20% margin levels over the next couple of years, which it will come back. And we have delivered on that, and actually no reason why, with our new contracts and new product mix. Also, a lot of the legacy products, we're phasing them out or we're replacing them with newer generation products. Our dependency on our old contracts and our old products is coming down year on year. And the new margin product that we're launching and the new contracts that we've acquired, despite having certain challenges that we face from the external environment and customers reaffirming their faith in Hycle and believing in Hycle as being a long-term sustainable company, shows that we will continue to grow and improve our margins going forward. And this is the plan. I'm not even talking of 10 years, I'm talking of the next 4 to 5 years. We will see a significant uptick in margins and the operating leverage kicking in as volumes increase. And we'll be able to compete with our competitors and be at the same levels as them over the next few years.
I appreciate that, Sameer. It's just that, you passed basically every FDA audit. You've lost very few customers, if any at all. It's just that doesn't reflect in your margins. So, I mean, everything is fine but the margins. That was my question. I mean, appreciate 4 or 5 years. Looks like only we think there's a premium to the product, but the margins say another story. That was my concern. So,
sure.
Thanks a lot, Sameer, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is on the line of Yash Mehta from AP Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yeah.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I would like to ask a question. On the animal health side, what is the status update on the CAPEX?
Yeah, Anish, can you take that?
Yeah, so we've invested the capital expenditure into the plant. The plant has been built. We are undergoing commissioning, and we've started validation of the product portfolio. So that's where we are currently.
All right. That's all from us. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Pradyumna Singhania from Rashi FinCorp. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi, am I audible?
Yes, you
are. Yeah, hi. I just pretty much had two questions. My first question is, do you think you can reach last year's top line, at least this year, considering that there are so many macro headwinds and stuff like that, and we started on a, I know Q1 is seasonally bad, but do you think we can at least reach a 2,200 top line this year as well? And secondly, you mentioned that our plant utilization was around 70 to 75% for pharma and 65% for crop protection. But I think you said if your Panoli plant is going to start, which has already started, and you're in the stabilization phase and everything, once that comes like into operation, wouldn't that get your overall utilization lower?
No, the reason why the utilization is low in quarter one is because of inventory destocking and lower volumes currently, as I mentioned. We expect the volume uptick to start from quarter three onwards. So the utilization levels of the existing assets will go back to the 80-odd% level, which is where we operate historically. The new capacities on the animal health and the crop side in our sites, which are undergoing commissioning, will also start adding to our revenues and our margins from Q3, Q4 onwards. So that obviously will be a ramp up, but the existing assets, which are running at a 65 to 75% utilization, will go towards the 80-85% level in the next couple of quarters.
Okay, so basically you also said in the start that sequentially you're going to do better. Do you mean quarter on quarter or year on year sequentially?
I mean quarter on quarter.
Okay, okay. All right. So, but can you also mention the fact that do you think you can reach last year's revenue levels this year?
I think it's currently very difficult to say because of the volatility in the market. I think after Q2 conference call, we'll be probably in a better position to answer that question. Currently, it's difficult to talk about that.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Pranay Dhelia from Panchantra Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a follow-up on the CAPEX one, Sameer. If you can elaborate, how much of CAPEX has already been done in the past 2 years and how much of it is still lined up? And subsequently, the phase of commissioning, as you said, probably Q3, Q4 onwards, you'll see phases of commissioning and gross block being added. So how much of it is left and how much more do you foresee in the future?
Kuldeep, you want to answer that?
Yep. So we have almost capital WIP as on 30th June close to 460 crore. So large part of these two capex, which Anish Samir mentioned, is already over. The trial quantity, the validation quantity will start from the quarter three, quarter four. So that's why the capex expenditure cash flow is concerned. The last part is already done. We expect another, 100 crore in the next 120 crore in next three quarters.
But you just mentioned some time back that you have 200 crore of capex lined up, for which you need 100 crore of debt and 100 crore internal.
So. Perfectly, all right. So we have already done in the first quarter.
Okay. Okay. Great. Fine. Then how much, in which phases do you see this getting implemented and coming into play, wherein it will add revenue to the company?
So as I mentioned this, the large part of the CAPEX is already done, is already grounded. The validation quantities will start from the quarter three, quarter four, and it will come onto the play.
Okay, fine. Thank you, Sameer, again, wishing you all the best and hope we have continued growth for shareholders now, rather than growth in phases. That's what's been eluding us for some time now. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Gandhi from FinQuest Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Just continuing the same previous question, can you give some breakup for how much out of this 460 or an additional 100 is towards which segment, animal, how much, other units, how much, and what is the benchmark which we need to monitor for performance, that some asset turn or payback or IRR or something, if whatever your benchmark when you started the project, if you can share, which we can keep monitoring. Thank you.
So out of the 460 odd crores, about 320 to 330 crores is on the crop side, and about 140 crores is on the pharma side. That's the breakup of the 460 crores. From the asset turn perspective is where we view how to monitor this. If you look at the asset turn, we expect an asset turn of about 1.3 to 1.4, depending on the type of asset, at peak utilization.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sajal Kapoor, an independent investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the follow-up. Just one question I have for you, Sameer, or maybe Anish can answer. It's a longer term. So question is, what kind of cycle 5 to 7 years out would you be truly disappointed to see based on what you aspire to create as on today? So, for example, if your average consolidated margins on a sustainable basis are lower than 25% and your sales are below 6,000 crores by 2030, would you be disappointed?
I think our targets are significantly higher than that. I think we believe that we can do a bit better than what you're saying. Yeah, we definitely will be disappointed if we don't achieve that.
Perfect. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amar from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand, we were talking about this 3,000 crore kind of a aspirational revenue number, let's say, in next 2 years. So how much it is going to come from the existing asset what is the potential for the existing gross block and what would be the potential for the new gross block?
Well, existing business, I think 3,000 crores is a couple of years away still. From the current gross block that we have, if we improve our utilization and change in product mix, we should be getting closer to about 2,500 crores.
Okay.
And new capacity about 500 to 600 crores additional.
Okay, so the new capacity would be then not more than 1.1 times, 1.2 times. That is what you are saying.
No, you are talking of the next 2 to 3 years because peak utilization will still take 3 to 4 years for that new capacity.
Okay, so basically you are saying in 2 years with existing and the new gross block, we can reach to something around 3,100 to 3,200 crores kind of a turnover.
I don't want to give any number of years. I think the target of 3,000 crores is a few more years from now.
Okay. And let's say when you're talking about the improvement in the product mix, right? So what should be the, potential EBITDA margin for the existing gross block?
So historically, we were running our business of 18 to 19%, and we expect our current gross block to go back to that level. And the new projects which will come on stream from next year will be higher than that. So the blended will go above that here.
Okay, so when you say higher than that, that would be in the range of 24 to 25% bracket, correct?
22 to 24%, 23% in that range. 22 to 23, 24%, yeah.
Okay. Perfect, sir. Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is in the line of Aditi Savan from ADM Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you so much for the follow-up opportunity. So I have two questions. First is, how are you seeing your pricing in the U.S. and end market panning out?
Sorry to interrupt. Ma'am, can you speak a bit louder? We are unable to hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Much better. Thank you.
Yeah. So my first question is, how are you seeing your pricing in the U.S. end markets panning out?
Okay, Manoj, you want to take that?
Yeah, the U.S. Generic market from a pharma perspective is definitely improving, and that is improving more on the margin side, as I mentioned earlier, because of lower raw material prices. But competition remains intense for the U.S. generic market, and that's the reason we are going to other markets also now, like Japan, Southeast Asia, Middle East, Latin America. The objective is to diversify your geography portfolio and come to a gross margin of 45% to 50% on our API business.
Okay, sir, understood. And the second question is, can you highlight on generic business?
This was mostly on the generic business, what I mentioned. CDMO business is totally driven contractual kind of business, which has different dynamics of long-term relationship with the customer.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Pankaj Jain from Mahavir Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to check on the raw material price. How has it been trending over the period, and do we see it bottoming out?
Yeah, so raw material prices have come down, but not as much as finished good prices. But there has been some benefit of raw material prices. I think they have already come down. Whether they have come down to the bottoming out, I think that only time will tell, but they're already quite low, and we don't expect raw material prices to go down significantly below where they are today. So I think raw material prices are more or less near lowest, if not the lowest levels right now.
So this raw material pricing going down will have benefits on the margins going forward? Will we be able to maintain it?
Yes, because there will be some margin expansion in quarter three, quarter four, because there's a lag effect as we have raw material and older inventories. It takes time to convert to finished goods and sell. So it takes 3 to 4 months. There's a lag always. So from end of Q2, early Q3, we should start getting some benefits on raw material as our margins improve.
Sure, sir. That is it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hiremath for his closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining our quarterly earnings call and for your continued interest in our company. We appreciate your support as we navigate through the challenges of the global business environment. We are well positioned to benefit from the significant opportunities considering the current shift in the global supply chain and the diverse capability built over the period of the past 3 decades. We are optimistic that the journey of longer-term sustainable growth and improvement in the profitability is still very much intact. As we conclude this call, we want to assure you that we are here to address any further questions or concerns. Please feel free to reach out to any of our investor relations partners, strategic growth advisors, and once again, thank you for your participation and support. Have a very good evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Hycle Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.